Fanning, weekends on 2FM.
Now, Brian Redden is the voice you heard just before that, because Disney film Disenchanted wrapped filming in Ireland a couple of weeks ago. The production took over the Wicklow town of Enniskerry for the past couple of months, and now Amy Adams, Patrick Dempsey and co have headed back to Tinseltown. Ireland has a rich history of big film production in Ireland, so Brian Redden, tell me all about it. I want you to go right back, as in from Darragh Films. You're going to talk about the films that you may or may not know were produced in this fabulous Emerald Isle of ours.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot. You know, I mean, everyone knows the kind of the famous ones, the ones like Ryan's Daughter and the ones like Excalibur or The Quiet Man, you know, that we've kind of made a whole tourist industry around. But there's been movies made in Ireland by foreign companies for years. And like not, and sometimes it's not the full movie, sometimes it's just a couple of scenes, but with the scenery and the castles and our army are used a lot, and racetracks and horses and all this stuff going for us, that we have loads of things. And it dates right back, if you want to go right back, over 100 years, back to 1910. Now here, this is really interesting, right? The very first films ever shot on location outside of the United States of America were shot on location in Ireland. Did you know that?
I did not. No.
So there was a company called the Kalem Company, K-A-L-E-M. They were based in New York. There's a lot of early days in the movies in Hollywood. Well, the movies in the States came out of New York as opposed to Hollywood. There was a guy called Sidney Olcott. He was a very famous director in the silent era. He was Canadian, but Canadian-Irish. And someone said to him, listen, we want to make this movie and we want to do it on location. You can go anywhere in the world. Where do you want to go? So allegedly, he opened up a map and he stuck a pin in it and he said, I want to go to Ireland. So he got his camera crew, they hopped in the boat and they headed off and they landed in Cove in Cork and made their way, for some reason, why I never found out, up to Beaufort in County Kerry and started to make movies. And between 1910 and the outbreak of the First World War, he stayed there and made movies there.
Movies, more than one.
Proper movies. The Lad from Old Ireland, The Colleen Bawn, movies that were hugely successful in America because they were tapping into the diaspora over there. All these Irish guys had gone over there probably during the famine and then post-famine, and they were living in America and they wanted a slice of old Ireland, and the Kalem Company gave them just that. So they made these movies. They're all silent films, obviously, but there were stories of, you know, Irish guys fighting against the Brits, and as I said, the famous Dion Boucicault, Colleen Bawn. So it was stuff they would have known, they would have been familiar with. And these movies were hugely successful in America from about 1910 to about 1914 or so. And he made maybe
the start
about
of the
10
war.
Or 15. And they're still there.
What did you say
that
first one was called? A Lad from Old Ireland.
The Lad from Old Ireland was one of the first ones he made, yeah. So it was all that kind of stuff. It was usually about Irish guys emigrating to America, or it was Irish fighting the English, or as I say, it was the Colleen Bawn kind of thing. But so they were there from 1910, so they were really, really interesting. But there's been loads of kind of fascinating stuff. And so I'll give you a great, this is one of my favourite stories, right, of a film that was shot in Ireland. Have you ever seen a film or heard of a film called Gorgo?
Gorgo, no.
Yeah. So Gorgo is a monster movie, right? And it's a bit like the Godzilla, you know, the Godzilla movies, you see. Uh-huh. So this was a kind of an English-French co-production and an attempt to tap into the Godzilla myth. So the idea is that Gorgo is this massive giant, right? A sea creature. And these guys are fishing for pearls off the coast of Ireland, as you do, because obviously our seas are full of oysters and full of pearls. So these pearl divers are fishing off the coast of Ireland, and a volcano happens and it awakens Gorgo, this sea monster. So they capture it, they bring it to London, but Gorgo's mammy isn't very happy. So Gorgo's mammy, who is a giant of a monster,
it's like King Kong or
something, pretty much, comes looking for Gorgo. Now, they shot it in Ireland. Well, they shot the opening scenes now. They shot them off Bullock Harbour back in 1961. But here's the good story about it. The guy who directed was a French fella called Eugene Lory. He was French and he had no word of English. And he's directing this scene, right? So in the opening scene, and you can see this on YouTube, the monster emerges from the water and all these fishermen in Bullock Harbour, all these guys from Dalkey, you know, getting a few bob to go out as extras, are in the water when the monster emerges. So the French fella, through an interpreter, said, you know, we're in Ireland. And he says, I want these guys to shout something in the Irish language, in Gaelic, when they see the monster. So the first AD went over and said, lads, anyone here speak Irish? Of course, a couple of fellas says, yeah, we do. He goes, look, I want you to shout, give me the Irish word for monster, and shout it really loud in Gaelic at the monster as soon as he emerges. So in the finished film, when Gorgo emerges from the water and all these docky fishermen are there outside Collymore Harbour, one guy points up and as clear as day says, Feck Sassenach! And they left it in the movie. They left it in the movie. They had no idea what he was saying.
Can I see this on YouTube?
You can see it on YouTube. He clears day. He says, Sosnuk. And they had no idea what he was saying. And it's in the finished film.
What's the name of the movie?
Gorgo. G-O-R-G-O.
They don't even put an N at the end of it. It's just Gorgo.
No, it's one of the favourites of Peter Jackson, actually. Peter Jackson loves it. It's one of these kind of classic monster films. But that was one. So, like, other films I think that were made here. An interesting one is, like, Western Aerodrome, I think, has played, host to a lot of films. And that started back in 1966 when The Blue Max was shot there.
Oh, yeah.
The Blue Max is a great World War I fighter pilot film with George Peppard playing The Blue Max. It was shot all over Ireland, but mostly in Dublin and Wicklow. And like Leinster House, for example, is a German headquarters in it. Dublin Castle appears in it. But it's most famous for its aerial dogfights.
Over Wicklow or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was mostly over Wicklow, but there was one very famous scene where the George Peppard character flies under an aqueduct, which was on a railway line just outside Fermoy in County Cork. I think it's called the Carrick-a-Brack Aqueduct, I think. And he flies right underneath that. It's amazing, mate. And it was a really, really spectacular stunt. And those planes were here. And those planes, what happened was the guys in Western Aerodrome, some guy out there, bought those planes and kept the planes here. So there was a whole fleet of replica World War One planes kept out in Western Aerodrome, which is out near Selbridge Lee Clip area, I think. So anyway, he had all these planes and that attracted a lot of movies here. So the next film that came in was Darling Lil, which was directed by Blake Edwards and starred his wife at the time, his wife until he died,
Julie Andrews. Yeah.
And they needed planes, so they shot that there. And then very famously, Roger Corman came over and shot The Red Baron, which was also called Von Richthofen and Brown. And he shot that out there using the same planes. So those planes ended up in about four or five movies that were shot here. And actually, Roger Corman's an interesting one, because did you know that Francis Ford Coppola's very first movie was shot here in Ireland?
No, but before you go any further, I know why you'd know this. Didn't you make a documentary on him?
I did. I made a documentary on Roger Corman called It Came From Connemara. Yeah. And it was all about his time making B-movies down in Connemara. We could talk about that all day. But
okay.
They were great movies.
Let's go back to Francis Ford
with names
Coppola.
Like Knocking on Hell's Door and Dangerous Curves, and usually involved David Carradine doing something unspeakable to people. But anyway, Francis Ford Coppola, first film he ever made was called Dementia 13, horror film. Well, it wasn't the first film he ever made, but it was certainly amongst the first two or three. It was called Dementia 13. It was a horror film and it was all shot in Ireland. So what happened was, interesting story. Roger Corman was making a film called The Young Racers. And Roger Corman was a famous, anyone who doesn't know who he is, he's the king of the B-movies.
Yeah.
And he makes movies very quickly, very cheaply. So he's making this film and he was shooting it in Liverpool. It was called The Young Racers. It was about a Grand Prix. But anyway, he finished early and he had $22,000 left over. And at the time he was making that film, Francis Ford Coppola, who we all know went on to make The Godfather and Apocalypse Now, he was working as a sound technician on the film, but he really wanted to be a director. So Corman says to him, I've got $22,000. He says, write me a script. He says, and Psycho had been huge. He says, write me something like Psycho, a horror movie with a knife and a killer, and write it quick. So Coppola sat down and wrote the script of Dementia 13. And the following day he says, right, there's a script. And Corman says, fantastic. He says, look, we can't shoot in England, but I have a crew left over. So where's the nearest place we can go? And they were in Liverpool. So they hopped on the ferry and they headed over to Dunleary. This is no joke. Headed over to Dunleary, rocked out to Ardmore Studios, and with $22,000, Francis Ford Coppola made his very first film called Dementia 13, which is a horror film. Now, a lot of it was set in an old castle, and they used Howth Castle in the film. And it's actually not a bad movie. It's quite a good movie.
I was just going to ask. I've never even heard of it. Dementia 13?
It's quite good.
Is it?
And he used the same cast that were in The Young Racers, because all those actors had been contracted to work for so many weeks.
Wait a minute. So did they all get the boat over from Liverpool?
They all got the boat over from Liverpool. Because, you see, Corman had already paid them. So Corman had paid them for whatever 6 weeks' work, had finished early and said, I'm not going to let these guys go home. They might as well make another movie. So they padded out the cast with lots of people from the Abbey. So all these Abbey actors ended up in Francis Ford Coppola's film.
We're talking to Brian Redden, and you get it now. It's not just movies made in Ireland. It's movies made in Ireland that you didn't really realise were made in Ireland.
Yes,
exactly,
yes.
Kind of thing. So 5-1, 5-5-2, if you can catch him out. But I say good luck with that. Anyway, give us some more.
Here's a great one for you. Did you know a spaghetti western was made in Ireland?
I did not.
Now, okay, so Sergio Leone, the guy who made The Fistful of Dollars for a few dollars more, The Good, The Bad and The Ugly. After he'd made all them, his next film was called Duck, You Suckers, right? Also called A Fistful of Dynamite.
I've heard of A Fistful of Dynamite.
A Fistful of Dynamite was called in Europe and America, it was called Duck, You Sucker.
Right.
And it was James Coburn plays this IRA man called Sean, who ends up in Mexico with a Mexican bandit played by Rod Steiger. right? And the IRA man is a munitions expert. He's a dynamite expert. So they get involved in all these scrapes and all these bits and pieces. But in a flashback sequence, the IRA guy, it flashes back to a scene where he is betrayed by one of his comrades to the Brits. And that is all shot by Sergio Leone in Toner's Pub in Baggett Street.
Really?
Now, again, Google this. Google Toner's Pub and you'll see it. The entire scene, it's a good lengthy sequence. James Coburn, it's completely silent. James Coburn's at the bar. He served a pint. He's there drinking a pint. English soldiers come in with an IRA man. There's a massive shootout, but it's a serious spaghetti western moment.
And there's all Steiger, the close-ups of the eyes. Such a huge actor. James Coburn, you'll know from a thousand things.
Not least
the guy with the knife of the Magnificent
James
Seven.
James Coburn, the guy with the knife of the Magnificent Seven. Mm. And the guy who, one of the guys who escapes in The Great Escape.
Yeah.
Rod Steiger's not in the scene. Only James Coburn. But James Coburn's there, and it's a big shootout moment. And it's shot like a spaghetti western, all these close-ups, great music in it. Every bit of it was shot in Toner's Bar in Dublin.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
and I've
there
been
you
there.
Go. And that was back in 1971.
Right, okay.
Now, another interesting one shot in Ireland was Casino Royale, the original Casino Royale in 1967, which was kind of a spoof of James Bond. Have you ever seen that film?
I have, yeah.
It's awful, really. It's not a great film.
Yeah, it was David Niven, wasn't it?
David Niven plays James Bond. Yeah. Peter Sellers plays James Bond. Yeah. In fact, Woody Allen at one point plays James Bond. So it's a spoof, and it was directed by about five different directors. But there's one sequence in it where M lives in this Scottish castle, and John Huston decided he was going to direct these scenes. And of course, Huston lived in Ireland in a big house down in Crockwell in Galway. I know that because I made a documentary about him too.
Wow.
So he lives in this house and he decides that he wants to shoot in Ireland. So he comes over to Ireland and he shoots the scene in this castle with Deborah Carr.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But of course, the scene involves a grouse hunting expedition. But there's no grouse in Ireland.
Good luck finding them in Ireland, yeah.
No grouse in Ireland. But of course, that didn't bother Huston. So what Huston ended up doing was he flew in dead grouse from England, stuffed grouse, right, and put them on these wires like a little zip wire, and had them flying overhead so Deborah Carr could shoot these stuffed grouse because there was no grouse in Ireland. And he shot the entire sequence here. So a whole chunk of Casino Royale is shot in Ireland as well. And of course, John Huston made Moby Dick here as well, and a film called Sinful Davy, which was the debut of Angelica Huston. But y'all stood in for New Bedford because he was obsessed with the book, obviously, the Moby Dick book. He wanted a place to look like New Bedford, decided that y'all down in Cork did, and himself and Gregory Peck went down there. Actually, there's a myth that the big rubber Moby Dick they use is still under the water off the coast in Yall because it ended up sinking out there. So apparently it's still out there. But Yall have done very well on the back of that because Yall now have a big statue to Gregory Peck down there as Ahab, and they really kind of play up the tourist attraction of the fact that Moby Dick was shot there. So John Huston made a lot of movies here.
Right.
In fact, one was called Macintosh Man. Have you ever seen Macintosh Man?
Don't know.
The opening sequence of Macintosh Man, Paul Newman wakes up from either a coma or a deep sleep, or you don't know what happened to him. You find out as the film progresses, and he jumps over a wall and he sees his fellow there and he says, "Where am I?" And the guy goes, "Ta to Connemara, Vach." So he puts a little bit of Irish in
no,
there.
No, I don't think I've seen that.
Yep, Macintosh Man.
There's other ones like Cracks of Fortune and those kind of movies.
Did you ever see that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I quite liked that.
It's okay. Yeah,
I mean, liked it a lot. Billy
once
Wilder,
you get over the fact that, you know, that Gene Wilder's accent is pretty terrible in it. But this was made in 1970. It was the year before he was Willy Wonka.
Yeah, with the bits outside Trinity College, I remember that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So he plays, so it's called Quaxer Fortune Has a Cousin in the Bronx. It's the name of the film. And Gene Wilder plays a Dublin, what is he? He collects horse manure.
Dung along the place, yeah.
Yeah,
big
so cart. He goes around and he digs up, he picks up horse manure.
He follows the horses, yeah.
Follows the horse and then sells the manure as fertiliser. And he's doing that one day when an American student runs him over. She's played by Margot Kidder.
Wow, was she the student?
She was in it with him, yeah. He falls in love with her and he decides to follow her to America because Quaxer's Fortune has a cousin in the Bronx.
Hey.
So, but I'd say the first hour of the film all takes place in Dublin. Now, once you get over the fact that Gene Wilder's accent is absolutely terrible in it, there's some really funny moments, and he's walking down the street and he's going, "Horse manure, get your horse manure here." And his mother, who's in the doorway listening to him, turns to the one beside him. The woman says, "Could you not get Quaxer to say something better than horse manure?" And the mother goes, "I've only just got him to say horse manure." So there's some very good lines in it.
All.
And Gene Wilder's fantastic in it. So that's a great movie. The Italian Job. right? Yeah. That's an interesting one. The Italian Job from 1969, the fantastic Michael Caine film with the classic line, yeah, he's supposed to blow the bloody doors off.
The last line.
The last line was, hang on, I've got a great idea.
I've got a great idea, yeah.
So in the Italian Job, which is a brilliant kind of heist film set in Italy, Noel Coward is the mastermind criminal behind the Italian Job, and he's in prison. So all of his prison scenes were all shot in Kilmainham Jail.
All right.
Every one of them all shot in Kilmainham Jail. So they brought the whole crew over here. And why, you might ask, well, what's interesting about that is that the Italian Job was directed by Peter Collinson. And Peter Collinson worked in this very building here in RTE.
Right.
So Peter Collinson was an ex-RTE producer, director, who had directed a brilliant documentary called The One-Nighters about the Royal Show Band and made it big in movies, and he wanted to come back to Ireland. So all those scenes in the Italian Job are all Kilmainham Jail, which also features in The Face of Fu Manchu with Christopher Lee. That's Kilmainham Jail. But Kilmainham Jail is in Michael Collins. It's in The Name of the Father. It pops up. It's a really good cinematic jail. So it pops up in lots of things.
You know, I was just about to say, okay, we're talking to Brian Redden here. We're not. We're just listening to Brian Redden here. So 51552. Keep going. Go on.
The Cliffs of Moher. How about the Cliffs of Moher?
I thought that was the name of a movie. We're going,
yeah, okay, but so. a lot of beautiful landscape of Ireland features and films. And in The Princess Bride, believe it or not, going back to 1987, the Cliffs of Moher The Princess Bride. Now, you've obviously seen The Princess Bride, right?
Well, enough times to be able to say, my name is Diego Montoya, you killed my father, prepare to die.
But you remember when they go...
Aristotle, Plato, idiots.
It's a great movie. But you remember when they go up the Cliffs of Insanity?
Yeah, I remember something about the Cliffs of Moher. Really?
Yeah. Oh. So that's all shot in the Cliffs of Moher. So they come along and they have to climb up the Cliffs of Insanity, Diego and the giant, Andre the Giant and all these guys. And it's actually the Cliffs of Moher. They shot it down the Cliffs of Moher. Now, when you look at it, it's very highly stylized. So I'd say the close-ups of the actors were shot in a studio in Hollywood somewhere.
Absolutely. They didn't come over.
I don't think they came over. But it's definitely the Cliffs of Moher. And there's definitely a guy hanging off the Cliffs of Moher, some stunt double on a rope. Probably a second unit they sent over. But they feature in the Cliffs of Moher. In The Princess Bride. And they also feature in Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince.
Really?
Yes, during the whole sequence with Harry Potter and Dumbledore, they're standing on the Cliffs of Moher.
They
featured in lots of films. Now, another really interesting one.
David Lean made a film outside Loch Ray. I'm not sure if it was released.
Lean outside Loch Ray.
He made Ryan's
Daughter.
Well,
Ryan's Daughter was the film that David Lean made in Ireland.
Kerry direction, yeah.
So, and Ryan's Daughter was released, did very well, won a couple of Oscars.
It did. Yeah.
But I don't know if he made a film outside.
That's what it says there, 51552.
What would that be?
I have no idea. Anyway, keep
going.
I have
to say, I have no idea. His big Irish encounter was Ryan's Daughter.
Yeah.
Barry Lyndon, right? So Barry Lyndon, a lot of people will know, was shot in Ireland.
Candles.
Famously, it was lit by candles. It didn't use any lighting whatsoever. And directed by the very eccentric Stanley Kubrick.
You know, that's a movie I'd like to see again. Because I saw it around the time it came out, which is 100 years ago. But I wonder, would it be a bit naff
now? I don't know if it holds up. But you know what it is? It's a very good film.
Ryan O'Neill's acting mightn't be the best.
But it's Ryan O'Neill. He lets it down.
Yeah.
Ryan O'Neill was an odd choice for Stanley Kubrick to be working with. But what was interesting about that was, so that was shot all over Ireland. That was shot in Waterford, in Tipperary, in places in Cork.
Really?
It was shot out in Carton House, in Castletown House, in Selbridge. Anywhere where there was an old house or an old castle, Kubrick used it. And he used thousands of extras of the Irish Army dressed as British redcoats. And, you know, the film was hugely successful. But what happened was Kubrick ran out of Ireland because he was chased out of Ireland by the IRA, which is kind of really interesting. So he shot it in the 70s at the height of the Troubles. And bearing in mind that Kubrick was quite paranoid, and this was the film he made after A Clockwork Orange. And A Clockwork Orange had been accused, if you remember, at the time there was
hugely controversial.
Yeah. And there had been some copycat killings, and people had accused the movie of inspiring these. And Kubrick was so paranoid about the whole thing that he withdrew A Clockwork Orange from distribution, withdrew it from the cinemas. So in the
For decades.
But on the back of that, the next film he made was Barry Lyndon. So he's in Ireland, Barry Lyndon. So the man is hyper paranoid at this point when a call comes through from a credible source. Apparently it was in a British intelligence agency that told him the IRA are going to get you. They're going to get you, and they're going to get your wife, and they're going to get your family. Now, whether that threat was true or not, we don't know. But quite literally, he disappeared overnight. He was told you 48 hours to get out of the country. And he had thousands of extras, a huge film crew here, who turned up to work on a Monday, and Kubrick has gone. He fled the country, went back to the UK.
There's one here that says, James Coburn, having made Fistful of Dynamite, met with Clint Eastwood on his way to Spain and had a drink in Clancy's Bar in Yall. That comes from Cork.
Really?
Cork. Really?
That's a great story. I hope that's true. But they did shoot some of, he's right, they did shoot a lot. Well, actually, Sergio Leone shot most of those spaghetti westerns in Spain, in Alicante, because, you know, he didn't go to the States to shoot it. So, yes, it was shot over there.
Give us a few more, because we're getting towards the news.
I think if you go right back, there's a good one called The Big Red One. The Big Red One was shot, parts of it were shot in Ireland. This is a fantastic war movie from World War II with Lee Marvin and Mark Hamill. And that was shot down in Trim. They used St. John's Castle in Trim as a castle and as a scene from World War II, a scene from Germany, I think. But that same castle then appears in Braveheart. So you know, obviously people will know that Braveheart was shot here. I don't think that's a surprise to anybody. Mm. I mean, Braveheart, a lot of the battle scenes, well, all of Braveheart was shot in Ireland, and half the cast are Irish. That, and of course, the opening sequence of Saving Private Ryan are probably the two most famous films that were shot in Ireland. Yeah. All that sequence was shot in Kirklow Beach. Well, The Quiet Man. Well, in terms of a whole, film was shot here. Yeah. Well, I suppose if you want to think of the most famous film shot here, it's got to be The Quiet Man and Ryan's Daughter. And maybe right down the list, Far and Away, which I'm not a huge fan of. Shake Hands with the Devil is another good one, I think. That goes back to 1959. And what I found fascinating about that is, you know, Jimmy Cagney played an IRA man in that. This is Jimmy Cagney, you know, the king of the gangsters. He came over to Ireland and they shot most of that in Dublin, in and around Trinity College. A lot of huge Irish cast in it. Ray McInally, Richard Harris, a very early appearance by Richard Harris. And I remember the great Angus McInally actually telling me that James Cagney came to his house and bounced him on his knee when he was a little kid.
Not many people who can say that.
Not many people could say that because he was working with his dad, Ray. In fact, you have time for a quick story about Ray.
Top of the world.
About Ray. Of course. So Ray was asked to come down and work on Barry Lyndon. The aforementioned Barry Lyndon was Stanley Kubrick. Kubrick was notorious for recasting parts he thought weren't working. Ray was playing a part in this, which I think ended up being played by Godfrey Quigley, I think. Anyway, Ray wasn't working out, so, you know, it just wasn't working for him. So Kubrick said, I'm really sorry, Mr. McInally, but we're going to have to recast you. It's my fault. I've miscast you. You know, the role's not going to work for you. So Ray said, fair enough, Grant, you know. Off he went. And then Ray got a check for the entire amount of work he was supposed to do. And then wrote Kubrick a letter, which I've seen was a fantastic letter that Ray wrote to Kubrick. He said, Mr. Kubrick, it was a pleasure not working with you. And if you ever want me to not work for you again, I'm available.
Absolutely. A check like that comes with. Here's one that says Alfred the Great, Loch Ray, late 60s, early 70s.
I don't know that. Alfred the Great by David Lean. Brilliant. I've got to look up that one. That's one I did not know.
By the way, you didn't mention the First Great Train Robbery, in which I starred with Sean Connery and Donald Sutherland.
Were you in the First Great Train Robbery?
I was in a crowd scene, yeah.
Were you?
Yeah,
hangar, was it the hanging hangar, scene hangar, yeah. at the very start?
We all had to go to Trinity College, get on these buses. We were brought down to Ardmore, wherever it was. I don't know where it was exactly. And we had to shout and scream. And as we were shouting for somebody to be hung or hanged, somebody was escaping behind us from jail.
Isn't that gas?
So my friend Donald, did I tell you the time I was there with Donald and Sean Connery for a pint? I must my co-stars.
Well, funny enough, the little fella who runs through the crowd and the camera focuses on him all the way up to the hanging actually went to school with me. So everybody I knew ended up in that film, but I didn't. I wasn't in it. But do you remember being directed by Michael Crichton?
I know it was, but I didn't. And obviously, I wouldn't have known him then and what he did later on.
So, Michael Crichton, wrote Jurassic Park and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, he was a very tall man. Did you even see him on the set? Apparently, he was 6'9".
No, I wouldn't have even known who the director was.
But the First Great Train, it's a great film.
The guy with the bullhorn, is it?
The guy with the bullhorn and the joppers.
Exactly.
He's usually sitting in a chair marked director. And has a horsewhip.
Exactly.
That's how you recognize him.
I was just going to say a horsewhip. It was like Mank. Anyway, listen.
It's a great film. Really holds up to this day.
Brian, listen, thank you so much, Brian Redden. What's your next documentary? Have you got something big coming up?
Yes, I'm working on one at the moment on the great Peter O'Toole.
Fantastic. Oh, we'll have you in tomorrow for that.
I'll tell you all about that.
Good man, Brian. Brian Redden, it is from Derek Films. Thanks, Brian.
Dave Fanning on 2FM. 2FM.